Politically and Murata.
Modern technology can record the voice of the people with the utmost precision.
Oh, you're insane.
Oversensitive.
You're insane.
I'm insane?
You're insane. You're insane.
You're a weird guy, Ace. Weird guy.
Politically and Murata.
98.7 FM. Arizona's sports station.
I think that was the one insult that Vinny actually got very mad at me about. Calling him insane.
By it.
He was stunned by it.
And now it's forever immortalized.
Yeah.
As a liner coming back from break.
Right. Yeah. Anything we're picking at each other, he saves forever. Okay. There have been some really bad contract holdouts in sports. Jamarcus Russell was one of them. Came out of LSU with, you know, a body like Hercules, 6'5", 260 pounds, great athleticism, decided to hold out. His rookie season became a disaster. And then he couldn't stop eating.
No.
And then that was it.
And now I'm hungry.
And now you're hungry. And that was kind of
it. We always talk about food in the 1 o'clock hour.
Bo Jackson held out once. Look, there are a lot of people. Marshawn Lynch held out. I'm not sure how well that worked out for him in Seattle. But here's what I think everybody should know about this situation with David Johnson. You are paid in the NFL based on where you are drafted. So if you're a small school like David Johnson, you are heralded as an amazing success story. The team is patted on the back for plucking you out of obscure you. And now you're a star, right?
But okay? You don't get paid.
But you don't get paid. So everybody gets the credit, the team particularly, but you don't get paid. So you're a third round pick. This is what you're dealing with now. And for David Johnson, that is a salary that is woefully shy of what he should be making. I know the story would feel different if David Johnson was coming off a great year. Then people would go, okay, look, dude, you've had three amazing years. Go get your money. Go get paid. The fact that he got hurt in week one, it's not his fault. It's not like he had a bad year and is asking for more money.
It's not like he came into camp last year out of shape, and then because he was out of shape, he got hurt.
It's not like he got hurt carrying deer meat or something like that.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Or meat spoons.
The new shipment of meat spoons came in.
Right,
that's
exactly.
That's unrealistic.
Yeah, right, right, right.
So, by the way, that my idea the other day about the extender on
the back shaver?
Yeah.
It appears that there's lots of products that already exist that are like that. So it's apparently a common problem.
Are there other meat spoons out there?
I've not seen a meat spoon anywhere, so.
Okay, so.
Fingers still crossed.
Keep that one to yourself.
You know, we have some sound from today's practice addressing the David Johnson thing. This is Steve Wilks when asked about it.
As we talked about last week, I said I wasn't going to address, you know, players that aren't participating. I'm not going to talk about injuries or those kind of things. I'm going to keep my focus on the guys that are here. We're going to continue to take that step and get better.
And one more?
I try not to focus on that. Again, I'm just trying to focus on the guys that are here. And, you know, again, you know, looking to get better each and every day with the ones that are here.
And then finally, Sam Bradford asked about David Johnson.
You know, Dave's been here. You know, he was here pretty much the entire offseason. You know, obviously, he wasn't here today, but, you know, I'm not worried about David at all. You know, he's a tremendous player. You know, whenever he gets back here, I know he'll be in shape and he'll be ready to roll.
Yeah, but Sam Bradford's just happy to not be being asked about getting injured.
Well, and look, Sam Bradford really is the wrong guy to ask. If anybody has just hit the golden ticket in the NFL, it's that guy.
Yeah, maybe they can reallocate some of the billions of dollars Sam Bradford has over to David Johnson.
Think about it. And Sam Bradford is a guy, he was literally the last of the bonus babies in the NFL. And that was before salaries were slotted and the market just kept escalating. He pocketed a $50 million signing bonus. The following year, the number one pick, I forgot who it was.
Is it Cam Newton, or am I off?
No, I think you might be right.
I'll look.
It was significantly lower. Significantly.
Yeah.
Sam Bradford's also had one good contract after another. He's made over $120 million in his career. So, yeah, Sam shouldn't be, you know, judgmental of David Johnson.
He's never had to hold out. It was Cam Newton the next year.
Very good. Very good, Luke. Yeah, and he's never had to hold out. That's exactly right. He has never had to hold out.
Remember Eric Fisher going number one in 2013?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I do remember that. Yeah,
that was not
a good pick. That could have made Mock My World, right?
That's
dumb sports.
Maybe I should have, based on the early returns, maybe I should have gone with that.
Here's the good news that we need to relay, because a caller said, hey, look, you know what? Next year, Sam Bradford's money is coming off the books, and everything would be fine, man. This team would be fine. In a way, I don't know what the application is to this year, but I will say this. The Seattle Seahawks were able to build a dynasty because they had a quarterback performing at a Pro Bowl level on a rookie contract.
Yep.
The Cardinals finally have a candidate for that kind of guy. So instead of allocating $25 to $30 million a year for your starting quarterback and chunking off, what, 20% of your salary cap for your quarterback, you're going to get a guy on a rookie deal. And that's what the Seahawks did. And as a result, teams that have quarterbacks, franchise quarterbacks, working on rookie deals, they have the most unbelievable financial flexibility to build quality depth on the roster.
Yeah. Even Philadelphia last year.
There you go.
I mean, I know Carson Wentz wasn't playing, but you start to look at some of the teams that have won Super Bowls recently, and that's maybe winning the Super Bowl isn't the best way to look at it. Maybe you should just look at teams that are having success each season, because, I mean, the Patriots are still winning Super Bowls and Tom Brady's obviously getting paid, but there is something to that notion of once you have to spend a ton of your money at any one position,
it
kills your ability to be dominant.
It does. And then you think, okay, if Larry Fitzgerald, if this is indeed his last year, which I don't know it is, but if it is indeed his last season, that's a lot of money that could come off the books just like that. And if you've got a franchise quarterback in Josh Rosen playing on a rookie contract, all that money freed up, you have got a lot of flexibility to do a lot of things.
They're going to have money next year at this time.
Oh, yeah.
It's just a matter of how much.
Now, the key is whether or not they need Sam Bradford next year. And by all accounts, you would guess that the answer to that question is no, they don't.
I would
because
hope
if Josh
not.
Well, that's the whole thing. If Josh Rosen is this impressive now, you just wouldn't see it. A scenario where they would throw down another $20 million to keep Sam Bradford another year just to keep his growth curve slow.
Yeah, I mean, even if Josh Rosen ends up, even if he was never good in the NFL, a year from now, what does he really have to have shown you at that point? He just has to look good in practice.
Yep.
So he's going to look good in practice.
Yeah.
And so at what point, I can't even imagine a scenario where the Cardinals would want to bring Sam Bradford back next year unless they won the Super Bowl this year.
Now, along those lines, though, it's Mike Sando brought this up this morning. I thought it was a fascinating point that they're not wearing khaki shorts, but they're shorts that they're wearing. And until quarterbacks start getting hit, you really don't know what they're made of. But the one thing Josh Rosen did very well in college was absorb hits.
Yeah.
He got hit a lot. Yeah. And he didn't seem to mind.
The one thing Sam Bradford has never done well is absorb hits.
I'm glad you had the teeter-totter on that one, because that is exactly where I was going. And that's the one thing Sam Bradford hasn't done well. So you throw all of this together, and you would think starting in 2019, the Cardinals are going to be in the best salary cap position they have ever been in the history of their franchise.
So they can afford to pay David Johnson a year from now, is what you're saying.
Yeah, that's right. And but, you know, maybe paying him now is a smart deal. If you're the Cardinals and you can get a break on David Johnson, isn't this good news for the football team?
Well, long term, yeah. I mean, we don't have the exact numbers, but let's say that I'm just going to use Le'Veon Bell as making $14 million. So let's say a year from now, if David Johnson plays out his contract this year and he is dominant and he looks the way he did 2 years ago before he got hurt, and he's asking for $14 million next year.
Yeah.
Or your other option is you pay him right now and you're paying him, let's just take the average, let's say $7 million.
Yeah.
I mean, if you assign him to an extension for $7 million a year and you bring up all those other guys you just mentioned that won't be on the books next year, you're not only going to have David Johnson next year, you're going to have a quarterback, whether he ends up being good or not, you're going to have your quarterback and Josh Rosen, you're going to have money to go out and get other pieces.
Yeah. And you just look at those Seahawks teams and the depth that they were able to build on defense, and clearly they weren't spending any money on the offensive line. But at that point in time, it was all because a franchise quarterback, which is the most pricey item in football, if not all of sports, you're getting it at a rookie contract. So the difference in savings is just dramatic.
Yeah,
because franchise quarterbacks are very rare, obviously. For them to come in on a rookie contract, also rare. And when you do, your team has got, that's the golden ticket right there. Hopefully the Cardinals will have that. Now, if you were the Cardinals, maybe they are very intrigued in the idea of David Johnson as a long-term asset. I just don't know how in the span of one game, Luke, one game, this guy went from looking superhuman to, uh-oh, he might be injury prone.
I don't get that either. I mean, I know that he got hurt in the last game of the 2016 season, and that was the one that looked bad. It looked like it was going to be a knee issue that might keep him out into last season or whatever, and he ultimately was fine. It sounded like he would have played within like a week or two if the season had continued.
Yeah.
So it's that recency bias. That's really what it is. When you see people saying David Johnson is, you know, he's a good running back, but what has he really proven? He was having a historically great season two seasons ago, and he had it. Like, he finished it. Yeah, I know he got hurt in the last game, but that just prevented him potentially from getting to 1,000 rushing and 1,000 receiving yards, which never happens. When he plays, he's one of the best, and we've seen one injury that kept him off the field.
Yeah. He got bent up like a pretzel in that last game in Los Angeles, and that was an injury. But the way his body sustained and absorbed that injury without snapping, that should be something that the Cardinals look at and go, okay, this guy, lower body, he's really durable and very elastic. Great elasticity, Jared.
Ooh. Sounds like a superhero.
You guys mentioned earlier in the show.
That guy, who's that guy that used
to... Elastic Omar? Man or no. Mr. Fantastic.
Let's go with Mr. Fantastic.
No, the doll.
I don't know. Stretch Armstrong.
Stretch Armstrong.
Stretch Armstrong.
I always hated Ben Stiller for ripping off those kids in The Secret Life of Walter Mitty when he made him trade a beautiful skateboard for a Stretch Armstrong.
Spoiler.
I'm like, man.
That part of the world, though, Stretch Armstrong, very rare, I guess.
I guess, but it's like, come on, dude. You're ripping off little kids.
Yep.
I think way less of Ben Stiller now.
I was just going to say, you mentioned you think David Johnson is the most important player on the Cardinals this year?
Yeah.
Do you agree with that?
I would say either him or Patrick Peterson. I mean, I understand the quarterback position, but we don't know who that is. So if you're saying a specific individual, I think they need David Johnson and Patrick Peterson.
I'll put the counterpoint that in that historic, fantastic David Johnson season 2 years ago, the team was not that good.
True. Uh-huh. But if you took him off that team, they may have won like one game.
Take him off that team last year, and they did not win only one game.
I don't think...
They also made their kick.
Wouldn't
last
you agree
year.
He's their best football player? It's him or Patrick Peterson. Now, most important, you would always say, okay, no, the quarterback's most important.
But that quarterback doesn't have a name yet.
Right.
You're just saying the quarterback.
That's a good point. And we're talking about an MVP candidate here in David Johnson. So it's a little different when we're talking about this guy, if you ask my opinion.
The way I would frame it is if they're going to make the playoffs, David Johnson has to play. Like, they could get by next season and maybe go 7-9 if he gets hurt and whatever. We've already seen that. But if they're actually going to make the playoffs, David Johnson needs to be out there and effective.
I would think if the Cardinals were looking at this shrewdly, they would say, okay, you know what? There could be a bargain here for us, and maybe we don't have to open up the bank for him next year, which would make our 2019 situation even better, but we have to work some numbers, crunch some stuff, and maybe they've come to the rationalization that playing this game and satisfying him it might not be a bad idea, but it's going to take time.
Like Goldschmidt's first contract.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, they gave him a raise, but it wound up being an absolute steal.
Exactly. Now, the whole key to it would be, because David Johnson, we all know he's going to be productive if he stays healthy. If the Cardinals deep in their minds think he is going to stay healthy, and not a lot of running backs do, but David Johnson seemed to be different, it's a good opportunity for him. Because if they chose not to do it, they're risking paying more on the back end. And why would you do that if you are concerned about him getting injured?
Well, there's incentive, to get something done right now because it might save you money long term and it makes him happy.
And breaking a wrist in a football game is not at all like having a degenerative knee or snapping an ACL.
Yeah, look, I mean, it's harsh on a lot of levels to call Sam Bradford injury prone because it's out of his control, but he's injury prone. David Johnson is not.
That's right. So this could be a great opportunity for him. Maybe that's all this is, but I'll tell you this much. I'm sure the team is getting very, very tired of talking about this.
Already. So wait till it gets to training camp. Then they're going to be really tired of talking. Steve Wilks, he can keep saying he's not going to talk about it, but he's going to keep getting asked about it.
And I would think that this is more ominous than it is dangerous at the moment. If training camp comes and nothing is done and then he doesn't show up, then this could be a very sticky matter.
See, I think they get something done. If you're the team, what's your ideal length of a contract? Like, let's say they get an extension done before training camp.
I think you'd probably want to go 4 to 5 years to spread the money out for cap purposes.
But then he's going to be in his 30s.
But you can cut him whenever you want.
Yeah, I guess that's true. It's the NFL. I keep forgetting that.
It's the NFL. You can cut him whenever you want.
Does his age matter or does his
mileage.
Amount? Yeah, mileage matter.
His age wouldn't matter if he wasn't a running back.
But it's not like you turn into a pumpkin when you turn 30. It's mostly because normally when you're 30, you've played so many years.
Why are you slandering pumpkins?
Why, are you a pumpkin fan?
No, I think...
Pumpkin spice latte, all that stuff?
No,
pumpkin pie?
People are going to kill me for this, but pumpkin pie is horribly overrated.
I actually agree with you.
Look at that. Look at that.
Yeah, I'm not the world's biggest pumpkin pie fan. David Johnson, the wear and tear he got 2 years ago, though, it's not like he hasn't played football. I mean, he saves last year.
Yeah.
So I'll give you that, but I mean, how many times he touched the ball 2 years ago? Every play.
Yeah, but like you said, he came out, his age... It fools you. He's older than you think he is based on his NFL experience and based on most guys and when they come into the league. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, yeah, he started at 23. That right there, I mean, Saquon Barkley just turned 21.
Yeah.
Heading towards his rookie season.
Yeah.
So 2 years is not the biggest thing in the world. It's nothing in real life. But when you're talking NFL and you're specifically talking running back, it's an issue. And his touches in 2016... 293 rushes and 80 receptions. So that's 373 touches in one season.
Yeah.
That's up there. Way up there.
Yeah.
In fact, the concern about that is typically when you have that many touches, you get hurt the next year.
It's what happened, but it didn't happen to him in a conventional way.
Yeah, he didn't wear down.
Right. And so in some regard, not playing helps him last year.
It's just surprising that it's him. I think that's what most fans... Because when this first happened, when he missed his first practice, everybody said, oh, he must be injured.
And
nobody thought, oh, he's sitting out.
And this is a much better outcome than him being injured. Because if for some reason his wrist wasn't healed or it was fragile enough where he injured again, that would be a much bigger deal than trying to bump this guy's salary up to a respectable level.
Yeah, because bottom line, at the end of the day, if the Cardinals feel like they can contend for a playoff spot, they can figure out a way to get this done. Whereas if he's hurt, they're looking at TJ Logan and saying, are you ready?
Well, no, but now keep this in mind as well. And this is really interesting because TJ Logan, Chase Edmonds.
Yeah.
Chase Edmonds is, this kid could be one of the biggest surprises out of this draft. I like this kid.
He's raw, though. I mean, to start him in week one?
No, you wouldn't want that. But, you know, he's getting a lot of currency in the bank with this new regime.
He
ain't the one holding out.
And he's not. And he sounds a lot like David Johnson did when he was a rookie when you interview him.
Yeah. Humble, modest,
which means a couple years from now, he'll be holding out.
and I know. And again, I've said this all show long, and I don't know this for a fact. I've efforted to find out. I've not heard anything back yet. Maybe I want to believe that David is a moderately unwilling participant in all of this. It just doesn't seem like something David Johnson would do. It just doesn't to me. And you know what? And I think that's what scares people. What scares people is this guy for real? Have we had him wrong all along? Is he just like everybody else?
That's the exact phrase that a lot of people have been using. Like, I thought David Johnson was different, but I guess not. He's just like all those other athletes.
Yeah.
All about the money.
That's right. That's exactly what they're doing. It's exactly what they're saying.
Well, because you can sit there and you can say all the things you and I have been saying about how you have to cash in when you're in that position and the clock's ticking when you're a professional athlete in the NFL and he hasn't been paid. But on the flip side, it's not like every player in the NFL holds out on the last year of their rookie contract. There are guys that just play him out.
You've heard every interview we've ever done with him, Jarrett. Does this sound like something he would do?
No, but he's doing it.
No, you're right.
You keep making the point, it doesn't sound like something he would want to do, he's uncomfortable. But he is doing it.
Right.
His agent
because
could have said that you need
so
to do
I'm
this.
So what I'm trying to say then is he is the kind of guy who can be influenced to do this.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
The agent could have told him that you need to do this. It's best for your career. And he could have said, right. No, I understand
family,
that, but I want to play.
His family echoed the same sentiments,
sure.
David would do that.
Not even sure it's best for his career. The more we talk about this, he could get paid more next year.
That's true. That's exactly right. And if David Johnson isn't injury prone, then why isn't he waiting?
And we've already seen it even just today. If the thought is just, if his agent is telling him, hey, why don't you just sit out minicamp, whatever, just kind of send a message. Okay, well, the message has gotten at least a significant percentage of Cardinals fans saying, I thought this guy was different, or why don't you play out your deal? What message, what are you gaining if you just come back and play for this contract starting at the beginning of training camp? You're not gaining anything. What message did you send?
Nothing. Then you're going to look like a moron.
That's not a good message to send.
No, it's not. No, it's not. All right, coming up on the other side, Dave Magadan, hitting coach for the Arizona Diamondbacks, scheduled to join us. He's Luke Lipinski. I'm Dan Bickley. You're listening to 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
We're live from the Auction Community Studios. We're joined now on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line by Arizona Diamondbacks hitting coach Dave Magadan. Dave, thanks for the time this afternoon. What's the feeling after that wild win last night?
Well, it was a crazy one last night. We're down five nothing. Nothing really. We're not able to get anything going against Musgrove, and then he hit Co to start off the seventh inning, and then it just kind of woke us up. Had some really good at bats. Obviously, had some huge hits from Lamb and Descalso, and Nick Ahmed got us going there with a big hit right after Co got the second. So it was a huge win.
Yeah,
to come from behind like that.
Yeah, no doubt, Dave. Some people looked at it last night and said, "Oh, that's good old school baseball. There was no bench clearing brawls, no ejections, just retaliation, and that should be the end of it." Is there a feeling that was the end of it because these are the Pirates in the other dugout after all?
Well, I think we made our statement. We felt like it was a little strange that Co got hit in that situation, but it did kind of wake us up, and it got us fired up, and we ended up having some great at bats and ended up winning the game. Now, whether it was because of that or not, who knows? But I certainly feel good about us coming out on the winning end after a game like that.
Now, a couple days ago, Goldie got plunked. Just because, at least ostensibly, just because he is rolling, and it was either out of frustration or a pitcher who wants to get him uncomfortable again now that he's finally found his comfort zone. Where do you draw the line between ethical baseball and the use of retaliation and just absurd nonsense stuff like that?
Well, I mean, Goldie's just doing his job. He's doing what he gets paid for. He was having a good series, and to hit somebody just because they're having good at-bats and taking good at-bats, just make better pitches,
Yeah.
And to drill him just because he's driving the ball and having, really good at-bats, to me, is going beyond what you need to do. Just make better pitches and get them out. And to hit them and risk injury, especially, the ball was not below the waist. It kind of hit them above the waist. And, some of these guys don't have that kind of command where they can, just drill guys. A ball can get away from them and hit them in the head and could do some permanent injury to a player. So, to me, if a guy's doing good, there's no reason to hit him. Just make better pitches, get them out. That's the ultimate payback.
Talking to Arizona Diamondbacks hitting coach Dave Magadan. Dave, I want to go back to last night just for a second because you mentioned the bats came alive after Chris Owings got hit. Baseball is not one of those sports where you can necessarily just get emotional and say we're going to try harder and all of a sudden it's going to work. And you mentioned that Musgrove was kind of cruising up to that point. Did you notice that maybe he got thrown off after that as well?
He might have. The kid's got really great stuff. We knew we were in for a tough matchup going into the game. Now, whether it shook him a little bit, I don't know. I think we just had better at bats. We got him in the zone. He made more middle mistakes after he did drill Co. But for whatever reason, our focus was better. We ended up getting better pitches to hit, and when we got him, we didn't miss him. So, you know, I tip our hat to Musgrove that he did get to the seventh inning and pretty much was having his way with us, but you know, he couldn't finish us off, and we ended up having some really good at bats in some big situations.
All right, Dave, I want to ask you about this because last year the team adopted the tunneling philosophy. You guys went all in the offseason. Guys were raving about it in the spring, and then the month of May happened, and maybe the two are not correlated, but it looked like there were a lot of guys getting locked up. People who saw Goldie thought, okay, you know what? It just looks like he's thinking too much, and that might explain maybe him being late on fastballs. You guys, I think, have done a great job adjusting from if those were the struggles. Can you take us through the evolution of that and how it may or may not have played a role in that month of May?
I don't think it had anything to do with it. I think tunneling is probably just another word to get a good pitch to hit. We're trying to, you know, especially with these guys that are throwing so hard and they've got wipeout sliders and, you know, it makes for a tough at bat. So we were just trying to simplify it a little bit, simplify the scouting reports where instead of, you know, a paragraph on how a guy pitches, just kind of highlight what he tries to do, what his out pitch is, and where you want the ball to start for you to put a swing on it. For whatever reason, whether it was correlated to the tunneling or whatever, we came out of the gate struggling. I would hesitate to blame it on that. It wasn't okay. Anything revolutionary. It was just really simplifying the scouting report where, you know, this is where you need to look for the ball, and if you can do that, great. If you struggle with that, then stay with whatever approach you've had throughout your career. And it was a way to make it a little easier to understand how to approach a pitcher, and if we can attack a pitcher in that way, I think it was just going to simplify things. But
gotcha.
You know, there's a lot of reasons for teams to struggle. I don't think pointing to the tunneling is something that I guess it's an easy thing to do because it was something different that we were doing. But, you know, we're doing the same thing over the last 2 weeks, and we're averaging 7 runs a game. So,
okay, yeah, and that's all fair, but it's also very rare to see entire lineups struggle in unison, which kind of has led to a lot of that speculation, at least on my behalf. But in the case of Paul...
So you don't think it's a good thing to look for a pitch in a certain area?
Oh, no. I don't have an area of expertise to even or the context to even answer that properly. I just know that if I heard that this was implemented at the end of last season, that it might or might not coincide with what Goldie was doing in September, although he was hurt. And then it may or may not explain why he seemed to look so out of sorts earlier in the year. But you're the hitting coach, so I'm going to take your word on that. Let me ask you, from your vantage point then, what has Goldie done to get himself out of this? Or was it just a matter of time, in your opinion?
Well, it's probably a combination of a few things. I don't care who you are. Once you go into a period of time where you're not getting a lot of hits and you're having poor at bats, you tend to lose a little bit of confidence. And there were some things mechanically that we were trying to clean up and, you know, stuff that leaked over from last year. And, you know, it kind of presented itself in spring training again. And, you know, you got to be careful with the mechanical stuff because that's stuff you want to work on in the pregame stuff. And hopefully when the game starts, it's out of your mind and you're not thinking about it. And all you're thinking about is getting a good pitch to hit. But invariably, that's kind of what happens. It doesn't matter who you are. So I think there was a period of time where Goldie was maybe thinking a little bit about what we were trying to get him to do. And then his pitch selection suffered. He was swinging at pitches that he normally doesn't swing at because that's part of what makes him such a great hitter is that he swings at the pitches he should swing at and he takes the ones he shouldn't swing at. So it kind of snowballed from there and the loss of confidence, the pitch selection, and then maybe focusing a little bit too much on what he was doing mechanically at the plate in the game was causing his pitch selection to suffer. So I think once he started rolling with and started getting used to what the mechanical changes were, and he didn't really have to think about them anymore. His pitch selection got better, which you saw on the road trip. And actually, it started to show a little bit on the last homestand, but it continued onto the road trip. And hopefully we can keep him going for a long period of time.
Dave, I want to ask you about this before we let you go. John Jay, only 12 at-bats with the team since coming over from Kansas City. But what are you expecting from him at the plate?
He's a professional hitter. He's a proven hitter. He's, you know, close to 290 career hitter. He has good at-bats. He puts the ball in play. I think he's going to be a pretty good leadoff hitter for us. He's patient, but he's aggressive when he needs to be aggressive. I think it's unfortunate he got off to the start that he's gotten off with us, where he struck out a few times, but that's certainly not the type of hitter that he is. I think he's a little bit late getting ready to hit, and he's missing some fastballs that he normally puts in play. So we talked about it yesterday a little bit, and hopefully with his start today, he'll start getting on the right track. But he's a welcome addition. He's a guy that always gives you a professional at bat, and a guy like that is always well received on a team.
Dave Magadan, good stuff. Thanks for the time. Good luck tonight against Pittsburgh. All right.
All right, guys.
Thank you, Dave.
All right, thank you. Dave Magadan joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. That's CoulterTempe.com, CoulterOnCamelback.com, and CoulterNissan.com. Take a half day with the Diamondbacks and your favorite Arizona sports host tomorrow. You can get lower level day game tickets for only $9.87 as the D-backs take on the Pirates, and we broadcast live from the Four Peaks Draft Room. Just text half to 620-620, and we'll send you the link to get your half day club tickets for only $9.87. That's half to 620-620.
There you go. Coming up on the other side, off the grid stories you probably didn't know existed, but you can't live without. He's Luke Lipinski. I'm Dan Bickley. You're listening to 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Bickley and Murata. Song of the day. Brought to you by Vital 4 Men. Sometimes you want to hit rewind. Now you can with Vital 4 Men. Find out more at vital4men.com.
All right, we're playing Bonnie Tyler today just for the symbolism, not because anyone wants to hear this. Holding out for a hero, or holding out by a hero, or skipping out. By a hero.
No, we don't have any skipping songs. Maybe David Johnson's holding out for an actual hero sandwich, and that's what the song
that's
is.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay.
So you're from Chicago area. You're from Seattle area. I grew up in New York area and then Arizona. What do you call a sandwich like that?
What, a hero?
Do you call it a hero? Yeah. Do you call it a sub?
I call it a
hoagie?
I call it a sub. Yeah. I've never used the term hero.
I thought a hero was a specific kind
so
of
did I.
Sandwich.
A hero and a sub sandwich, I think, are the same thing.
I don't think so.
No, I think there's got to be specific ingredients to make it
different.
A hero.
But I did notice that the sandwich you had, this is proof that you're an East Coast guy. You know, East Coast guys can be very readily identified when they're having lunch meat sandwiches if the lunch meat can barely fit in your hand. You know what I mean? Like Carnegie's Deli, all those famous delis in New York, they put absurd amounts of meat on their sandwiches.
Yes.
More meat than toppings or bread, yeah.
More than I even find enjoyable, to be quite honest with you. But you don't have that issue.
I like, there's delis, you know, or places in town that make big sandwiches. I love it.
Do you really?
Oh.
Yeah, it's just, to me, it's just too much. There's got to be some balance.
See, that's why I wanted to do the perfect sandwich. Mock my world.
Well, to be fair, you didn't pitch the perfect sandwich, and now in retrospect, I wish we had done that.
I'll start by picking a loaf of Jewish rye. What are you picking?
It's your pick, Jarrett.
Well, we're doing it right now.
Okay. You won.
Well, I would not pick the bread as my first
choice.
That's
true. That'd be a bad idea.
The question is, do you pick roast beef? Do you pick turkey?
Lean pastrami?
I would probably pick...
That's not a meat.
I would probably pick turkey.
I had... You know, I went to Cold Beer and Cheeseburgers the other day. Mm. They have a burger that they put pastrami on top of. Okay, look, just kill me now. I mean, that is as good as it gets.
That is as good as it gets. I had a burger the other day that was the meat was actually made of brisket short rib.
Oh,
It was an accident that I stumbled upon it, which it was basically like Columbus discovering America. Like, it wasn't intentional, but it was right on that same level.
Please let me know where that place was, because I have found places that make burger with that brisket mix. Okay, that stuff's to die for.
Yeah, I didn't even know it was a thing until like 2 weeks ago.
You texted me and said that was I just had the best burger I've ever had.
Yeah, probably, because I had just had the best burger I'd ever had.
Yeah.
Now, I heard that Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers is changing their names to...
I don't recall you ever making me laugh this much, Luke.
Sorry.
I think you've really found your your groove here.
I did hear that Cold Beer and Cheeseburgers is changing
their
name.
Oh, the music showed up. Look at that.
Yeah, sorry.
They're changing their name?
Yeah, to Cold Beer and Cheese Pancakes.
This is one of the items that I was going to hit in this segment. I cannot believe the fervor and the anger about the move to IHOB. I mean, people
Is
are
it anger?
Stupid angry.
I'm just confused.
Did you see the trolling that was going on?
Well, the Wendy's one was the best, unless something new has happened today.
Yeah, well, Burger King tweeted out something that they changed their logo. It said Pancake King. And Wendy said, what did they say something about?
Not really afraid of the burgers from a place that decided pancakes were too hard. They got 284,000 likes.
Tell you, Wendy's rules Twitter.
But Wendy's is intense. Twitter. They just attack. They're savage on Twitter.
Yeah, they're intense.
Don't upset a redhead.
You know what Bruce Lee once said? Long-term consistency is better than short-term intensity. I just read that today.
Okay.
I was not prepared for that.
Okay, neither was I.
You're a big Bruce Lee fan?
No, I don't think I've ever seen a movie. I think I just read that somewhere today. All right, check this out. Good tweet from Tom, by the way. Everybody talks about David Johnson's health. If you recall, it was a bad pass thrown into triple coverage that Johnson tried to catch, and that's what caused the injury. It's a true story.
Yeah, I don't think it's... You can have the concern, and I get why Cardinals fans have it, because you paid Tyrann Mathieu a bunch of money, and then he just wasn't quite the same. But I hate calling players injury-prone, but if you're going to compare them, Tyrann Mathieu was much more injury-prone at that point in his career than David Johnson. That's just a football play. Like, it's not like there are other NFL players that wouldn't have gotten hurt on that play.
Yeah. Okay. No, you're right. I agree with that.
So I get the concern, but it's not. I'm not going
to
label him like that.
There's nothing to suggest he's injury-prone. That's kind of what I'm getting at, to me.
Yeah, I'm with you. Okay. I'm 100% with you on that.
All right, that's number one. Number two, did you see the... And I'm sure this is a couple days old by now. If you want to see a heartwarming video, there is a state semifinal baseball game going on, and a pitcher strikes out a batter looking. Everybody on the team, the winning team, starts to celebrate. The pitcher comes right up to the batter and gives him a hug because they're boyhood friends.
Yeah.
It's about the most heartwarming thing you've ever seen.
Yeah, he doesn't celebrate with his team. He does later, but it's not like he walks up and pats him on the shoulder and then runs off and parties. Like, he's there with them for, probably a good 20 seconds?
Yeah.
So you can tell they're talking about something.
Yeah. Or you could tell that at one point in time, they were obviously very, very close friends, or still are, and that was the level of empathy that guy felt. You know what I mean?
That would be would it be better or worse if you have to get struck out to end your season with that much on the line? Would it be better to get struck out by one of your good friends or just by somebody you can't stand? Like, I think you'd rather...
Good question.
Yeah,
it's a good question.
It's almost tougher to get struck out by your buddy.
Yeah, unless you're really good friends and you know the guy is never going to troll you about it. But most friends, like, you know, if I struck out Jarrett in that situation, I'd never let him live.
More likely
down.
Andy. Yeah. But
who wouldn't strike out Andy?
That's true. Did you hear any of the audio from the Capitals Championship Parade? And the now, I guess, eternally drunk Alex Ovechkin.
Yeah.
This was his big speech.
Before the year, I said, not me say, it's just us saying, we're not going to be f***ing sucked this year. We're the Stanley Cup champions! Yeah!
I'm telling you, for a player that really wasn't embraced by American sports fans, I think that's changed.
Do you think season starts, he remembers he won the cup this year? Or does he come out with that much like hunger and intensity because he wants to win his first cup next year? Because that does not sound like a sober man.
He wants to win his first cup. completely forgot it.
this has been going for a week straight now.
I know he has. Good news for Colts fans. Andrew Luck has thrown in front of the media for the first time. He's throwing a high school football, but at least he's throwing an elongated pigskin.
He's throwing a New England Patriots inflated level of a football.
Yeah, that's right, where we're at. Right, now. Exactly. Okay. Yeah. But I mean, seriously, that's. Weren't you starting to wonder?
I still am. I mean, just because he can throw a football in front of the media, it's been like a year and a half, hasn't it?
And especially when Josh McDaniels took the job and then said, "No dice."
Yeah, no dice.
Oh yeah, and I forgot about that.
And I really think that is at the root of it. The root of him saying no dice was him going, "What do you mean, Andrew hasn't thrown a football yet?"
But what else
hey,
do you
Bill,
have?
If you're can the I Colts, come back home, yeah, right.
It's just Andrew Luck.
That's exactly right. So there you have it. Got anything to add before we get out of here, Jarrett?
He's building the perfect burger behind the
glass. No, he's building a perfect sandwich of some sort. He did. What is he doing?
He's remixing the Ovechkin yell. That is going to be iconic scream.
Right, here we go. You got it again? No? Tomorrow. He's
tomorrow.
Got you.
And
all right.
Probably every day thereafter, too. So just be ready.
All right. That. On behalf of Mike Sando of ESPN, who joined us, on behalf of Dave Magadan, Diamondbacks hitting coach who joined us, on behalf of Luke Lipinski, the all-star substitute fill-in, on behalf of Jarrett Carlin, I am Dan Bickley. Burns and Gamble coming up right around the corner. We'll see you again tomorrow, folks. Have a great afternoon.